Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here with the talk of the town.
We take you to the Hometown Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
Town.
June 2nd. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Middleman Present Talk of the Town with Nick Eden. I am your host, Nick Eden. I got my man Al with me.
What's good? What's good?
Now, my man, where's KG?
I don't know.
He's holding up his phone.
It's running a little late, ain't it?
Yeah. I don't know what time it is.
How
you doing today, man? You doing all right?
I'm good, man. I'm good, man. Today, my sister and my first cousin's birthday, man.
Oh, your sister that called into the show Sunday?
Yeah, most definitely.
Man.
Most definitely.
Tell her I said happy birthday. I hope she has a great birthday.
Oh, yes, you will.
For all of my listeners out there, if you did not tune into the Middleman Talk Show this Sunday, when I'm telling you, you missed the most intelligent young lady I have ever heard speak in my life. This girl came in, she dropped some knowledge on us. This is Al's younger sister. She came and she dropped some knowledge on us this Sunday. She dropped more knowledge in 5 minutes than most people drop in an entire year.
Yep.
So you tell her Nick Eden said, happy birthday. I hope she has a great time on her birthday. Like,
most definitely.
Period.
Most definitely.
Well, I wanted to talk about the sales again this week. Unfortunately, it's not
go.
Much to shake it. If you're into the pop scene, Lady Gaga, she kind of trumped all of the high-profile artists that have dropped albums in the last couple of years. She sold 1.1 million albums for her new CD, Born This Way, in the first week. That beats everybody's record this year, everybody's record last year. It beats Lil Wayne's record a couple of years ago when he did a million a week.
Yeah.
She killed everybody. She killed everybody. I knew she was going to sell a lot of albums when I saw her on BET 106 Apart. Now, here's the crazy thing about it. Not only did her new album sell this week, but her last album, Fame Monster, jumped back into the top 20 on the Billboard 200 chart. But she's got, her last album was number 15 this week. But she's got two albums in the top 20, and that album's been on the chart well over a year. So she's killing it right now. Like, she's killing it right now. I'm not a big Lady Gaga fan, but, you know, hey, I'm not mad at you out there getting your paper. Akon is making some money off of you. Now, I think some of our favorite entertainers have lost their ever-loving minds this week. Well, I ain't gonna even say my favorite, quite frankly. Cassie. We all know Cassie. Cassie got more issues than anybody. Cassie, of course, we know her for dropping the nude pics and everything and saying that they were quote-unquote stolen out of her Gmail account and this or that. And this has happened twice in 2 years. The nude pics have come out. But just recently, she did an interview about her new album. And to be honest with you, I forgot she was even doing an album.
Hey,
what can you say? But she had the nerve to say that her new album is a mixture between an urban Gwen Stefani and Aaliyah. I know. If you won't compare yourself to Aaliyah.
Okay.
Have you lost all your outside?
Yeah.
Money?
Right. Everything in between that too.
What if you think that you're as good as Aaliyah to even mention Aaliyah's name?
I'm offended because I'm an Aaliyah fan.
Hell, everybody I know is an Aaliyah fan.
Yeah, I'm offended.
I couldn't believe that. So, of course, you know, she immediately caught flack for that. And they went in on her on Twitter. Oh, they went in. They said the only thing that you can compare yourself to Aaliyah about is the fact that you both dated both men that were old enough to be your father. I said, they went on. Now, on some good music, let's on to some good music. Jill Scott, she's getting ready to go on tour this summer. She's promoting her her new album, The Light of the Sun. She's got the first single with Anthony Hamilton. I love that record right now. That's So In Love. That's a hot record,
yeah.
Man. It's a real hot record, real grown and sexy. It's real music. But she's actually kicking off her tour July 28th. It's in conjunction with Budweiser. It's the Budweiser Superfest. And she's calling it her Summer Block Party Tour. Here's a lineup. This is what's so crazy about it. It's Jill Scott, it's Anthony Hamilton, and Mint Condition.
Woo!
Hot.
Man, I need to give me some tickets.
Man, who you telling? Who you telling? Yeah, she's going to be in Atlanta on August 19th. I will be there. I will definitely be there. I'm not missing that one.
Right.
The last time I saw her on tour was with Raheem Devon and Nate. When I tell you, they tore Birmingham up that night. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Now, J-Lo, back to bad. We got to give you the good with the bad, the good with the bad, the good with the bad. J-Lo about to be a little upset, y'all. J-Lo got a sex tape coming out. Yep.
Bad for her.
Her first husband, Ohani Noah, has a tape of them from their honeymoon. This is well over 10 years ago. Now, originally, this was supposed to come out a couple of years ago, and she actually filed an injunction in court and they kept it from coming out. However, the court recently lifted the ruling, and several porn studios, they want the actual exclusive to it. So it's a lot of porn websites, a lot of distributors. But the thing about it is, apparently there's no sex on the tape. It's just a whole lot of nakedness, a whole lot of, you know, some spanking and some other stuff like that. But they're saying that it apparently doesn't have a lot of sex. But they still want to pay top dollar for it, simply because of the fact that the Jennifer Lopez is hot right now. You know, just had a great season on American Idol. Her new album is out. Her single's doing well. You know, and a lot of people are like, well, J-Lo is back. We're going to see how much of J-Lo's back is actually out when the tape comes out. Because you can look forward to it in, you know, about 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know. Are you going to be getting it? You can tell the truth. You can tell the truth.
Nah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, I really ain't like, don't like that, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? She was hot back in the day,
lying,
man.
Now,
No,
I can't stand a line.
Nah, but you
gonna look.
You find a Sanaa Lathan one. Sorry, baby. If you find a Sanaa Lathan one, what's up?
Hilarious. Now, we all know if you haven't heard by now, Shaq announced his retirement this week. And it's been a good run for Shaq. You know, right now he's the oldest player in the league.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's time for him to
sit
down
for a while. Yeah, he needs to sit down for a while. Like, he needs to sit down for a while.
Now, his last couple of years, they haven't been that great. I'll give him that. You know, he didn't even play for the full season this last year with the Celtics. But to be quite honest, I think Shaq has had a great career. It's not one that you can just sit up there and say, oh, this was a horrible career, and it's time for him to go sit down. He's done his duty. He's been, for the most part, at least 80% of his time in the NBA, one of the most dominant players. So, you know, you can't really hate on him. So, so congratulations to Shaq, you know. Enjoy your retirement. I know you're chilling. You're going to probably get – I hope he doesn't get a commentator job. Shaq can't talk.
Ooh. He might, man. I can just see him up there.
Well, you know, you're the one that's waiting for him to tell you. Yeah. What is talking about?
Can you imagine? Turn it on the Sports Center, and you got Shaq and Magic Johnson talking about a game.
Right.
It's going to sound like Tiny and Toya. You ain't going to be able to understand a damn thing.
Man, I'm going to spit out my water, man.
I'm just saying. Man, they had to have subtitles on that show. I'm not lying. On Tiny and Toya, they had to have subtitles because you couldn't understand anything they were saying. Anyway, on to some other stuff. Rihanna's catching some flack from her new video, Man Down. Now, the video was already controversial in nature because of the fact that she is dealing with the subject of rape, and actually at the end of the video, she shoots the rapist in the crowded station.
Hmm.
Well, she shoots him at the beginning. Turns out this, she's a rapist. But it's been a little outrage about it. The Parents Television Council, it's a nonprofit organization. They're kind of firing back at her, and they're just, you know, saying that this is, you know, this is not acceptable. You know, if this would have been Chris Brown shooting a woman in his new video on BET premiered, the world would have stopped. And, you know, they're saying that Rihanna shouldn't have gotten a pass for it. And so she, you know, kind of, she went to Twitter and she said that the video had a very strong underlying message for girls like me. And this is my thing about it. And this is what I don't like about Rihanna. What I don't like about Rihanna is the fact that Rihanna uses that situation with Chris Brown when it's convenient to her. First, she doesn't want to talk about it. Then she says she's moved past it. Now, all of a sudden, oh, this is a message for girls like me. Like, she uses it whenever she needs some publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at what point are they going to be like, you know what? Sit down somewhere. But I don't know. That's the world we live in.
Right.
That's the world we live in. Anyway, what we're talking about today is, if you listened last week, we talked about Mr. Too Damn Good, the artist who either gave us a little sneak peek of their full talent, or they dropped one album on us and they never came back, or when they came back, it was horrible, or they could put out music, but the music kept getting worse. And we actually had a little backlash about this show. Actually, I had some people that, you know, they did not agree with me. I had some people that agreed with me, but I had some people that did not agree with me. So we're going to revisit that today. This is Mr. Too Damn Good, too. This is the first time, I think, in Millman history, we've done a part two to a show the week after. You know, we usually save our part twos for,
right,
you know, down the line, but I tell you, Al, I caught some steam this week. I caught some real steam about this. And so, when we get back from this first break, we're going to go right into it. The first break, we're going to hear from an artist who is not going to be Mr. Too Damn Good. He's going to keep giving us, you know, good music. And yes, it's a shameless plug because this is my new single. Yes, this is my new single. So. I'm not going to be Mr. Too Damn Good and give y'all some BS music. Anyway, first song of the day is Nick Eden, first single from my new album, Exit to Eden, and it's called Away. This is the Middlemen Present Talk of the Town with Nick Eden on Blog Talk Radio.
See, with a song like this, you got to get real grown and sexy, right? You got to take your drink, put it in your right hand, put it up, find you a nice young lady, and you just got a groove. Let me show you how. Come on. Just go from left to right. Left to right. Two steps now. Left to right. Left to right. Two steps now. Left to right. Left to right. Two steps now.
And that was Away by yours truly.
Eden. I like how you put that out there.
Hey, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Good song.
You like it?
Good song, man.
Don't
song, man.
I want to see the video for it.
No, man. I'm being honest, man. You know, like, I'm the worst critic of America. But, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Good song, man.
Yeah, I just want to do something a little grown sexy, man. You know, sometimes we take ourselves a little too seriously in music. Sometimes we just want to get out there and dance. So, you know, I just want to give them a little something grown sexy. The song is on iTunes right now. Support Your Boy, independent, Stepchild Recordings. So make sure you go, you know, pick that up for me. Anyway, so we're talking about Mr. Too Damn Good. And let me tell you about some of the flack that I got last week about this show. Actually, that's why I wish KG was on. KG told me he got one of his boys caught the archives, and he said that we had no right to say that these artists should or should not quit, or that they can put out music whenever they feel like it. He's right. They can put out music whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
But don't expect me to go and buy it just because you decided after this long break and this multitude of bull that we've been hearing in between time that you want to come back. Oh, I'm bringing back real music. You should have never left. You say this is your job, this is what you want to do, then do it. Like I said,
Temptations
put out 54 studio albums.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all don't have 54 songs.
Mm.
Come on,
a lot of y'all don't have 54 original real CDs. Like, Ashley went to the store and bought 54 CDs.
Exactly.
True.
So, you know, hey. I mean, it is what it is. You know, and I definitely respect everyone's opinion. And if you'd like to get in on this conversation, go ahead and give us a call, 718-508-9972. Or if you're already on, go ahead and hit that number one. If you're on Skype, you can go ahead and hit that little button. It'll bring you right in. But this is my opinion. And clearly this is not just my opinion. Now, if anybody follows me on Twitter or Facebook, you know that I had the week from hell when it came to graduations last week. Now, Saturday was my last graduation. I went to high school graduation in Marietta. And let me tell you, first off, those were the biggest high schoolers I had. One of those was at least 30. I'm serious. I said to get to a point. One of them was at least 30. It was this one girl. They said her nickname, and this girl was huge. They said her nickname was Wide Body Ben.
What?
Yes. I go to this graduation party. It's my girl's aunt. Her stepdaughter was graduating. So we'll go to this party. Afterwards, we'll go back for the graduation party. And out there talking. And these are some older cats, older professional people, you know, that got money to spend and like to spend it. And they got into the discussion because they asked me what I did. I told them what I did. We got into the discussion about singers and people that put out albums. And Al, I swear to you, the exact same people that we named last week, almost in order. Like, I had to ask them, do you listen to Blog Talk Radio? And they were like, no, what are you talking about? They went right down to it. They went down the entire list. They talked about Lauryn Hill. They talked about D'Angelo. They talked about Maxwell. They talked about Dwele. It was funny because the girl said it almost verbatim. She was like, I don't like Dwele anymore because Dwele just gives the same stuff every time.
Mm.
It's nothing new from him. It's always the same thing. That's why I'm not going to his concert when he comes. It was a concert coming up. It's Brian McKnight, Joe, and Dwele. And she's like, she's not going simply because of that fact. So now it begs the question of, is it worth losing your fans to go the safe route? Because once you lose your fans, it's kind of hard to get them back. Because everybody's going to say you fell off. And these are people, these are professional people with expendable income that want to spend it on you. I don't know, Al, what do you think about that?
I don't understand. Well, okay, since you're saying the safe route. In their mind, they're thinking that, okay, well, if I stick with the same formula that worked the first time, it will continue to work. But if you're not being consistent, like we talked about last week, as far as consistently dropping quality type music, and also, you know, doing something different and testing, you know, testing the waters and trying to do different types of music, using different sounds, different song topics, maybe adding different elements, meaning having different features come on your CD and things of that nature, or getting a different writer to come in. Your CD's pretty much going to remain probably the same if you don't have that creative type mentality. So,
and I think that's where I was getting at the most with it. And Al, you can attest to this because you, a lot of people don't know, but you're an artist, you're a songwriter. It's like a muscle, that the ability to be able to write a song.
Right.
It's like a muscle. You have to work it. You practice it. It gets better. If you're sitting there and you're taking break after break, you're not writing in between time. You know, you're going to lose a little bit. So going the safe route is just saying, I have not worked at my craft, and
what
now
it is,
I'm
Nick,
suffering because of it.
What it is, Nick, they're lazy. But just call it for what it is. It's laziness. It's easy to do what's safe. But it's hard to step outside the box of difference. They're late. But it is. My play.
Well, we got on the R&B artists last week, and we got on them pretty hard. And you know what? I'm actually going to give them a break. I'm going to give them a break this week, just for a little bit, not too long. But I'm going to give them a break this week, and I want to talk more about this hip-hop aspect of it. And this is the thing that kills me. You got these hip-hop artists doing this, and I'm sorry, that's the last genre. Well, you can be like, I'm going to take this break. We touched on it a little bit last week with Dr. Dre.
Yep.
You know. But let's get into some of these hip-hop artists. Now, name a couple of hip-hop artists that you feel are just being, you know, they're being lazy. They're being Mr. Too Damn Good.
Well, I can't say this about this guy now, but back when Jay-Z announced his retirement and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he want to come back. And then also Mason Desta. You know, like I used to be a Mace fan back in the day. I'm not going to lie. Everybody who know me from high school know I was a Mace fan to the heart. But when Mace left, I supported him, what he was trying to do. But then when he tried to come back, then he left it again and tried to come back. Then he left again and then tried to come back because he thought he was inspired by, who was that, Michael Jackson or whatever. Hey, sit down. Well, sit down. Please. Please.
you got a mega church, man, and you in there talking about, you know what I'm saying, what you'll do to a dude, you know what I'm saying, as far as shooting and hurting. Man, you don't sit down somewhere.
Like, pastor, right. Are you Murder Mace again?
Man.
You know what? You're right about that. And to be honest, I forgot all about it. And I think that's probably the first time that I, like, really sided with Puffy on that. Because I remember when Puffy went to Power 105 in New York, and they asked him about the whole thing, and they asked him why he would not give Mace his release after that.
Right.
And he was like, well,
right.
every time Mace
right.
comes back, Mace is under contract to me. So every time Mace comes back, I cut Mace a check.
Yep.
And he leaves again.
Right.
I'm not going to keep cutting him a check. Like, he still got to give me back for two albums ago. And I can honestly say, you know, if there was anybody outside of Biggie, if there was anybody that Puff paid attention to, Puff, you know, gave a good amount of promotion, I think that it was Mace.
Yep, he did.
You know, so it Puff was like, dang, you know, hell, I keep cutting you checks and you keep messing around. What do you expect?
Yeah.
So you're right. I forgot all about me. I'm going to see somebody else mm-hmm. that on the hip-hop side, they kind of piss me off. This is going to sound a little weird. This is really going to sound a little weird. Bubba Sparks.
Okay. All right.
The reason I say that, I didn't like Bubba Sparks when he first came out. I automatically grouped him into that, oh, they're trying to you know, go into this whole white rapper thing,
mm-hmm.
and they're just trying
right.
to put that, because Eminem was hot.
Right.
And his first album, I didn't even really listen to it. It was okay. But when he dropped that Deliverance album, for anybody who has that album, I think anybody who listened to that album will tell you, that was one of the best hip-hop albums.
Yes,
not only to come out that year,
yes,
but in about a 2-3 year span. Like, it was a really great album, from lyrical content to production.
It was
a great album, and then he just fell off.
Yep.
Got out of his deal, but fell off.
He couldn't come back up, man, to that level again. I mean, I didn't understand. He could not come back up to that, you know, what he was trying to do. I don't know if he was trying to do what his peers around him was telling him to do, because I like the old Bubba Sparks, you know, the country, you know what I'm saying, type Bubba
Sparks.
But to me, it seemed like he was trying to do what was going on with the people that he was involved with. That's what I thought.
I mean, but at what point? Gosh, come on. Really? I don't know. Things like that piss me off, because it's hard to find people that can really give you great lyrical content in hip hop nowadays. They're out there, but you got to get out there and you got to search for them. Especially coming from
right.
age. So for the ones that actually do it and be able to get a chance to get out there, you know, I think a lot of times, I think that a lot of these guys are really weak willed when it comes to the music business. And
now,
I think what pisses me off the most about it is it's out there. Now more than ever, these labels are telling you up front how we're going to screw you over.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, it's not a surprise anymore. It's not a, oh,
and
I'm going to give
do?
You a car.
And what can
no,
they do
I
about
spent
it?
I spent your budget on my trip to San Tropez.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that too many times, it's still a lot of people that just, they don't get it. And then they get in and they're just like, oh, I think I need to take a break because I'm tired. I put these albums out and I'm ready to retire. Now, one person that I feel like he's gotten progressively, not so much he's gotten progressively worse, but he's hit a stalemate, is T.I.
Thank
and
you.
And the reason I say that
Thank
is because if I hear one more single about, oh, I'm not going to let you down, or we all make mistakes, how many
Thank
times are
you
going to keep hearing that from T.I.?
Thank you. Finally, somebody feel the same way I feel. Thank you. I had to argue somebody up and down about T.I. I told myself, I said, man, why am I arguing with somebody not as educated as I am in the music business? Let me sit down. Let me sit myself down.
Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I like T.I. And I'm going to tell you right now,
the King album, T.I.'s King album, was the one that really shifted, was the start of putting my career in overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I will always be grateful for T.I. But I call a spade a spade.
Mm-hmm.
Not up to par. It was getting progressively better, and then he just flatlined.
Yep.
He let too many of his personal troubles get in the way. He had Atlantic mm-hmm. in his palm. If you
yes,
remember back in 2006, he was the only hip-hop artist to go platinum that year. That was the,
yes,
the King album was the only album that was a hip-hop album that came out in 2006 that went platinum. The only one. And he had Atlantic in the palm of his hand.
Yep.
Now,
yes,
that's another Atlanta rapper that's pissing me off. He puts out music on a consistent basis. I will give him this. But lyrically, he's at a stalemate, and he has yet to drop that classic that we know he can. It hurts my heart to say this. Ludacris.
Yeah. I figured you was gonna say Luda, man. I really did. I think his last two albums, they really just didn't get to at all. I mean, that's in my opinion. They were just a blur to me. I don't even recall. I mean, I recall maybe that song he did with Pharrell, but other than that, I can't recall any other songs off those last two albums.
Luda has the potential. He can be, Luda is one of those people, he can be a comical rapper. He can be
yep.
lyrical. He can be crunk.
Yes,
he can be all that. Like, he is,
yep.
honestly, and even though he represents the South, he has a universal sound that doesn't sound so
right.
commercial that it's like, oh, this is dude trying to go pop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got the opportunity. He could really, it's going to take one classic album from Luda. One classic album. But then you got to think about who his mentor was for so long, which leads me to my next person that pisses me off. Because hip hop needs him, especially in the South. Scarface.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Old face mob.
Like, come on now. And I'm looking
yep.
at it like, okay, now look at it like when we were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Ghetto Boys.
Yep.
We had 8-Ball and MJG. We had 666 Mafia. Not 3-6 Mafia.
666.
We had 666 Mafia.
That's right.
You know, we had some classic artists that really went balls to the wall and put out some great music, some great timeless music. Even if you're not a hip-hop fan, even if you're not a hip-hop fan, you got to give it up to them for creating a movement, creating their own lane, and making it dominant and impacting the entire world.
That's right.
They made R&B the stepchild of urban music.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And I'm like, at what point did the grind stop? At what point did it start being about... I'm not even gonna get into the content part of hip hop. That's a whole nother show. And
yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
that's gonna
Woo.
Get me riled up. It's gonna piss me off. I'm gonna call Woo. Some people out, and then my phone gonna be ringing tomorrow. So, in order for me not to do that,
I can do it.
In order for me not, and I think I hear, is that KG on the line?
Yes, sir.
Okay, KG, you know, we've had these talks before. You know, we'll talk about that. This will be a 4-hour show. And I don't want to get pissed off tonight, so I'm gonna leave that alone. We're gonna move on from that part. But KG, you let me know, and maybe I'm just tripping. Can you think of some hip hop artists out there that is just Mr. Too Damn Good?
Compared to what we were talking about last Thursday, man, it seems that a lot of rap artists don't have that privilege to sit down 5 years and then come back. You have people like LL that'll do it every once in a while. you know, he'll wait about 2 years, three, about 2.5 years before he put an album out. But in mostly in hip hop, man, if you wait over a year before you put an album out, the new next hot thing will replace you in a heartbeat.
Yes, sir. Quick.
Mm-hmm.
But
quick.
Realistically, I mean, you have a lot of artists that their budget's not right, music not right, and I mean, timing ain't right on a lot of them.
Can we agree on this though? That a little bit more, because R&B, though most of my favorite R&B is that gritty soul. For the most part, R&B is pretty polished when it comes to, you know, the production. I think in hip hop, the more underground the sound, the more of a cult following you draw. You know, so in terms of production, you don't necessarily, it's not like it was in the beginning of 2000 where you had to have a Pharrell track,
right?
You know, in order to see. Nowadays, honestly, and Kanye kind of he helped it, but he hurt it at the same time. Honestly, if you can just find a damn good sample and put a good kick behind it, you can have a decent hip hop beat.
True.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. I think more than one, the next person that I'm going to call out about this, and after I talk about her, we're going to go into our next break. This person, she actually had people calling for her to come back. And instead of just coming back with some classic material, she decided to come back with a mixtape dissing the person who she feels like tried to take her spot.
Oh,
that's Lil' Kim.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Now, yes, Nicki Minaj is a Lil' Kim ripoff.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, she's not just a Lil' Kim ripoff. She's a Salt and Pepper ripoff. She's an MC Light ripoff. And she's a Yo-Yo ripoff.
Yes. Yes.
Check your history, people. Y'all know who those names are.
Check your history. She is a ripoff of all of them. I think if Salt and Pepper and Yo-Yo saw her on the street, they need to slap her dead in her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Because she bit them so hard, especially Salt and Pepper, she bit them so hard, it's ridiculous. But they were calling for Lil' Kim to come back. They were anticipating her without her putting out one song.
Yeah, but man, don't you think she somewhat missed the iron being hot and let that girl just slip right in and she took a position?
She could have squashed her from the jump and it wouldn't have been a problem. And nobody would have gone up against Lil' Kim for squashing her.
True that.
Nope.
But she waited until she got too much momentum.
She waited too long. She waited. And Nicki is smart. Nicki fights her battles. She chooses which battles that she's going to fight. She will cause some static with Lil' Kim, but she wasn't going to cause no static with Trina. Trina called her people on me. We're gonna get back to the whole Lil' Kim discussion in just a second. We're gonna go into our second break of the day. I've been wanting to play this track for a long time, and because this artist surprised me. He's somebody who in the last couple of years has been pretty consistent as far as putting out albums. Some people may like him, some people may not. I didn't like him starting off. This is Jeremiah. I did not like him starting off. When I heard that Birthday Sex song, I just really didn't like it. Then I actually heard a song off his album. I heard him perform live. Saw him sit down at the piano and just sing. And you may not think he has the manliest voice, but as a songwriter, he's really good. And this was off of his first album. And it has a Stevie kind of vibe to it. This is Jeremiah with Starting All Over Again. It's the Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton on Blog Talk Radio.
To feel a new take your hand and try this love thing once again. Oh, but gotta take our time and share each moment.
That was Jeremiah, was starting all over.
I like that record.
Slip Disc, never heard it. It's off his first album. Like, the songs that are decent, they keep on the album. The bullshit is what they put out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got the album. I just didn't listen to it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, what can you say? If you're just joining us, we are talking about Mr. Too Damn Good Part 2. This is the first time the Little Men have done a part two on the show the week after. Like I said, we got a little flack. We got some good comments and some bad comments. Katie, you got a couple little comments about the show too, didn't you?
Yeah, man. They felt like we ain't had no right to tell them they had to come out with an album like that, you know.
Let me tell you something, as a person, I tell artists this all the time. You can forget about this show. You can forget about R&BLover.com. You can forget about me as an artist, a promoter, a digital media consultant. You can forget about all that. As a person who still goes to the store and pulls his wallet out and purchases your music, I absolutely have every right, every single right to say, if somebody comes up to me and say, you know what, Nick Eden, I went and I bought your last album and I hated it. I thought it was garbage. I got your album before that, and I loved it, but then you came back with this BS. I would take money out of my pocket and give it back to him. I mean that. And I would tell them, just give me another chance.
But I hate to sound like a hater.
They absolutely have the right.
Hey, man, I'm serious. I hate to sound like a hater, and I know y'all talking about hip-hop a little bit, man, but I could take out every... Really, I need to take my whole paycheck. If I ever bought any album from 2008 on up, I just need to take that money and give it back to the artists because they suck.
Damn.
Seriously.
Oh, man.
I'm the one that bought it. I get them the money back. Here, man. Here, you can have this. I don't even want it. You that bad. You might need it more than me. Your rap career is over. Matter of fact, oxymoron, rap and career. No.
Hilarious. Well, what can you really say? You know, it's like, because, yeah, it's true, you can't please everybody. I understand that. You cannot please everybody. But come on, man. Some of this stuff don't make no sense. Some of this stuff, and Kev, I'm a fan of this, and he listens to the show from time to time, and I really appreciate him for doing so, but I was a Montel Jordan fan.
Mm-hmm.
I was really a Montel Jordan fan. I thought he had that right hip hop vibe to him with just enough singing. Then when he came out with Girl, Can You Tell Me What's On Tonight, Coming To Your Crib, Have Dinner By Candlelight, I was like, oh shit, yeah. Then he just took this long break, and then he came back out in 2008 with that BS album. And now there were some tracks on there that were good. And I know Chucky Charles, he produced some tracks on there too. Mm-hmm. And track-wise, production-wise, I didn't have a problem with it. What I had a problem with was I had a problem vocally and I had a problem lyrically because I felt like he didn't grow any. And I'm like, we waited all this time. All this time. And you didn't give us a great album.
Right.
You know, like I said, if you're going to take that long break, at least when you come back, give us a great album. Just like I said last week, Maxwell waited 8 years, but when he came back, man, he hit us hard with Black Summer Night. That was a classic album. That made me a Maxwell fan. You know, so it can be done. I'm like, damn, if you taking all this time off, this is all you had to do with it all the time? What the hell else did you have to do?
Nothing.
And it's not like you couldn't get in the studio.
Right.
It's not like you couldn't get in the studio. Even if you were pissed, poor, broke, I guarantee you, you can find a studio that's going to be like, hey, shoot, this is Montel Jordan. I'm gonna let him in my studio for free. Hell, this is Montel Jordan.
Man, he got access to one himself.
Exactly. So it's not like you're like, oh, I was crushed for time, I didn't have a budget. This is not the old days. And even in the old days weren't the old days. The Temptations cut records before they got signed to Motown in their basement. Hell, Motown was a basement.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
So it's not like it can't be done. I just don't, there are no excuses to it. And if you feel differently, I definitely want you to hit that number one and let us know your opinion. Or if there's an artist out there that you feel like they fell off, like Wet Dope, then give us a call, 718-508-9972. Let us know. We want to know, because we know we're not the only ones out here that feel this way.
Hey,
that's
but you
for
know
sure.
What? One artist that I was somewhat disappointed in some of the records that's on the album, Lupe Fiasco. And he started off pretty good when he first came out. But this Laser album, a couple of good tracks on there, but it ain't like that.
And you know what, to be honest, I haven't listened to this album. I like the Cardinal Sin. Because I like Lupe. I do. I downloaded it on emusic.com. So I got it the right way. I just never listened to it. And to be honest, I was the same way about B.O.B.'s album. You know, I bought the album, but I just didn't listen to it for a long time because I think it was more about, for me, it was more about support. Because I know that they're legitimate artists and they have legitimate talent, and I just wanted to do my small part to support the album. So like, it was like a year after B.O.B.'s album came out and I bought it that I actually sat down and listened to it. And I was pleasantly surprised when I heard it. But maybe I need to go and listen to Lupe's album. But I wasn't in a rush to listen to it. I'll tell you another hip hop artist who did this, and we're gonna get back into Nicki Minaj's Lil' Kim thing in a second. Because we're gonna go just a little bit over time, just a little bit, not too much, but just a little bit. But I gotta get this artist off my chest because I'm a fan of East Coast rap. Anybody who knows me knows that I am a fan of East.
Yeah.
I have to debate with Kevin all day about Biggie and Tupac. And we'll go back.
And we're going to have to do it. I guarantee you, if you do a show on that, you're going to really see what it is, dog.
I'm telling you. No, people don't understand, KG. That show will be epic.
No, I'm just saying, though, not just me, man. You're going to see how many people out here will really tell you about Pop. And I want to go
through
Pop.
Hey, man, we're not going to go into it right now.
All right.
But y'all know, I'm a fan of East Coast hip-hop. I really am. I am very lyrical. I'm a songwriter. So I'm a fan of lyrical content. But this artist has gotten progressively worse. And every now and then he has a good spot. But he's just gotten progressively worse down to the point that he's just doing publicity stunts. And that's Nas. He's gotten progressively worse over the years. Illmatic was a classic. Stillmatic was a classic.
Yeah.
That sounded wrong. Okay. It's a couple of things that I didn't even mention. I don't know if you know this, man. I skipped over about 3 or 4 albums. I am.
Yeah.
But he's gotten worse. And now he's I like Nas too. But my problem with Nas is, Nas, instead of realizing where he is in life and in his career, Nas is, it seems like, you ever hang around a guy that was just so, high school was the best time of his life? That's
so
all he was
like
talking about. Man, I so missed back when we was in high school and we used to, I had a guy like that I knew. He used to walk around with his Letterman jacket.
Hey, Bundy.
I said, you're 25 years old. What the hell do you still have your Letterman jacket for? That's what Nas reminds me of. And I understand, Nas came up. Nas was the new hot guy in the golden age of hip-hop when he first came out. But it's not like that anymore. You have to adapt.
Yeah.
There's a way to adapt and still keep your integrity. It's done
all
the time.
I mean, you didn't like the thicker album, though?
But did you like the nigger album? Like the, did you like the,
not really,
the nigger?
No. I put that album on the same level I put It Was Written.
Mm.
I put that album on the same level I put It Was Written. It was cool, but when you compare it to, like, think about it. He got dissed harder than anybody else got dissed in the history of hip hop. And it made him get his ass up. Well, not up to anybody, but it made him get his ass up and come back with a classic when he did Stillmatic. When he and Jay-Z were doing their whole piece, and he came back with Stillmatic, he came back with a classic. Because Jay-Z pretty much broke his career down. Only other person that got dissed that hard in a hip-hop song was when Pac went out to Big. Now,
dude,
I will give you that,
man.
Because Hit 'Em Up was the hardest diss song in the history of hip-hop. There has not been another diss song to go as hard as Hit 'Em Up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you must ain't really ever listened to that Ether.
I did listen to Ether.
Ether actually
did
anything Jay said to that dude.
I did listen to Ether, but I'm not being funny.
Man, Ether murked Jay-Z. Just saying.
I mean, when he said dick suck tough, man, that was it for me.
I'm not being funny.
That was it.
I'm not being funny, but he signed with Jay-Z a year later. Jay-Z won. I'm sorry.
No, that wasn't a year later, man. That was like about 6 years later, dude.
Five years later.
Man, they did not get right with each other that next year.
They came together like that next year and did a show together. And
right,
then after that,
then
that's
after
got
that.
Signed.
Right, no, he signed with Def Jam maybe 3 years after that.
It was under Jay.
Look it up. Man, what they got to do with his thing? He was just, hey, who's still on the label and who ain't working there no more?
When was the last time Nas put out an album that was worthy of talking about?
Yeah. Actually,
I don't count those albums with Damon Marley, man. I can't count them.
Hold on.
This is the thing about it, man.
We're not
going to
tell that because that's a whole other show. Matter of fact, next week we're gonna do a show about beef and hip hop. That's next Thursday.
Man, you gotta add the Biggie versus Pac, man.
Ooh.
Who's better in there? You got, cause Pac's birthday coming up too, June 16th.
Ooh.
What you talking about? 40 years
Ooh.
Old? Know something,
boy. Ooh. Next week, guys, we're gonna do.
Hey, we need to do an hour 30 next week, man.
Huh?
Hey, we gotta
do
an
hour 30 next week.
Nah, man.
No,
everybody tell
I'm
everybody.
Going all the way back to Boogie Down Productions.
We gon' know if we need to extend this one, but we need to get more people in here. So I want to do all my people that love Tupac, y'all call in and explain to Nick Eaton why Tupac was the best rapper.
Biggie and Pac is a whole other subject. One, we can't even really call what Biggie and Pac had a beef because that was more media than that was an artist.
I ain't even talking about the beef. I'm just saying, man, Tupac took
We're
on
doing a show. Next week, we're doing a show about hip-hop beef. Are we going as far back to LL Cool J and Cool Bro? We're going Cannabis and LL. We're going far. We're going to go break it down.
Hey, Triple C versus Player Fly. What you know about that?
What happened?
666 versus Player Fly. What you know about that?
Oh, wow. Lil Troy versus everybody. I'm
wow.
telling you, we going far back. We going far back. So, anyway, we going on to some beef that some people might not even know about. T.I. and Rick Ross. Anyway, but shout out to Alpha Mega for saving T.I.'s life that night. I'm just saying. Anyway, next week we're going to that. But I want to touch on this, and that's going to be the last one we touch on. We're going to finish off on this Lil' Kim Nicki Minaj thing. We're going to go a couple minutes over. We added some time to it, so everybody that's listening online, you'll still be able to listen. So, Lil' Kim had the perfect setup. She could have squashed Nicki Minaj like a bug from the jump. She didn't. She waited. She still had time, though. Realize that she still had time. Her biggest mistake was dedicating an entire mixtape to Nicki Minaj. And waiting, because there was such a thirst for female hip-hop, and because Nicki Minaj tapped into this pop side,
yeah,
she waited so long. Because if you remember, Lil' Kim used to be the one that was on the MTV record. Lil' Kim was the hip-hop representation on MTV. Well, they didn't want anybody else on there. The only other person they let on there was Ja Rule. And we didn't want him.
See,
but Nicki
go.
Had the chance. She had the setup. She could have done it just right. She waited too long. And then when she finally came out, she came out with Black Friday, where she's dissing her for the entire mixtape. And then she puts a mixtape on PayPal.
What's wrong
what
with that,
the
man?
Hell?
That's entrepreneurial, man. Come on, son. I mean, she was just getting out of jail, too, though.
It's entrepreneurial, yes. But just like Al just said, she could have had a deal on her terms. And she could, even if she'd just gone through E1, even if she'd just gone through, if she really, and she, that has to say she sold $112,000 the first day on PayPal. I'm not the smartest man on earth. But, and don't get me wrong, she did sell a lot on her first day. Nowhere near $100,000. Nowhere near $100,000.
Nah, I doubt it. I think maybe the moment just got to her, and she was like, "Let me, you know how it is when you slip and fall, you just try to play it off, like really try to play it off." That's what she did. She failed and tried to play it off. So somebody,
I'm gonna say this much: she has been around the game way too long. Way too long to fall into that trap.
Yeah. Hey, man. Anybody can fall short now. Come on, now.
She's got too much knowledge. All the brains she gave. Anyway.
Boy, stupid.
She just didn't have to go that route. So it's like when you came back, so it's like now at this point, Nicki just kept on going. She kept on selling records. She kept on putting out singles. And now what does that do for Lil' Kim? You let a new artist come in and take your spot. And then because you didn't definitively take your spot back, you look like a loser.
Well, I mean, dude, that she, old girl was playing chess, man. Think about it. Old girl was just seriously playing chess. I mean, the people around her told her how, I mean, the people around her, they know Lil' Kim, too. So they know how to attack Lil' Kim. And the way they came at her, man, it made her really look foolish. And the way she fell into the trap and the way she maneuvered herself, she looked foolish.
Okay, well, let's put it like this. I call this the Mary J. Blige syndrome. See, the same thing could have been said when Keisha Cole was white hot. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
When everybody was saying, oh, Keisha is the new Mary, and Mary is the new Faith Evans. Keisha is white hot. She's got this show on BET. You know, she's got songs that are they're on TRL and they're on 106 and Park. She's the new Mary. And what did Mary keep doing? Mary kept dropping albums.
Sure did.
And what happened? Keisha Cole sitting up there on Twitter going off about not being nominated for BET Awards, and Mary getting ready to drop another album. She just kept her head high. And I'm not a Mary fan. Sorry. I respect her, but I'm not a Mary fan. But she still kept her head high. And Lil' Kim could have done the same thing. She could have done the same thing. And that's all I'm saying. Like, but my thing is, had Lil' Kim, had she come out of prison, when she came out of prison way before Nicki even came out, and would have just dropped the classic album when she got out of prison. She'd have been fine. That consistency, not being consistent, I think that's the biggest thing about this. Not being consistent is what throws these artists off.
Mm-hmm.
Not being consistent. If you don't use it,
that's it, Nick.
You will lose it.
That's it.
If you don't use it, you will lose it, especially in hip hop. They call it a young game, but it's looked at as being even younger when the older people still have not gotten the business sense to last this long. And RL said this, and we're going to go into our last break after I say this. RL said this a couple of months ago, and I absolutely agree with him, when he said, you see bands like U2 and Nirvana and Aerosmith, and they've been fighting for years. They may not really like each other like that, but they still get out there. They tour every year. They get out there and they go together. They make that money. New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys have done a joint album and this big worldwide tour. These white acts are doing it all the time. Why can't urban music get it together like that? Am I saying that Jay-Z is the greatest of all time? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is he is a person that recognized that there is power in consistency. You
That's
said
right.
it earlier, Al. When he retired and he came back with Kingdom Come, the single was okay, but then everybody was like, the album is kind of, eh.
Ooh.
But then he dropped American Gangster. And even though it was a soundtrack, American Gangster was a good-ass album. And he was like, I got to get back up to the level of where I was before I left. There's power in consistency. And that's why a lot of times he's looking like the last man standing. Ice Cube is the same way. Ice Cube took a while off. He came back independent and had a gold album.
Man, can I interject right there?
Yeah.
Ice Cube ain't been the same since Show Chop, though.
He hadn't. Woo! He has not been the same, but it's just like Diddy said. When you put... If you're Ice Cube and you've been at 10 for the greater part of your early rap career, if you come back out and you're just a five next to a bunch of twos looks outstanding.
Man, he look like a two though, right? You know what I'm saying? Cube came with a couple of records, album that was pretty dope. You know, it was okay. You know what I'm saying? But when he got all to all that, you know, we be clubbing and all that crap, man.
Yeah,
hurt.
I didn't like that one.
Yeah, I didn't like that album. The album he came out with a couple of years ago, did you listen to it? Which one? Last Night Cry Lane, whatever. The West, or which one? I think it was the one with the album cover. Why Me, someone got the song with Anthony Hamilton on there. Why Me and all that. I listened to that. Man, you know I'm a West Coast head. Come on now. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
But like I said, my biggest thing is even when you come back, it may not have been America's Most Wanted Ice Cube. Man, we lost Players Club Ice Cube. No, man, we lost that Ice Cube when he got paid.
Yep. Yep. After he got all that money from Boys in the Hood, man, that was it.
That joker got Hollywood. He
hey, I'm just being real.
He wasn't O'Shea no more. He was O'Shea.
I'm telling you.
Y'all
stupid. Man, nobody stink. Man, you know, Cube is one of my favorite dudes of all time, but I ain't gonna sit up there and say I'm gonna ride with him through all that crap he's been putting out.
I still like Cube. I'm sorry.
I'm not mad at him.
Like,
if I see another one, are we there yet, man? Yeah, I'm through with him.
I can't do it.
I'll cry later. That was
I can't
out.
Do it.
Yeah, that's now, cry later. And it went gold.
Yeah, I got it. All this album that he put out for the last say, three albums went gold.
There's power and consistency.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he may not be as good as he once was, he's still better than the half the motherfuckers out here. That's new.
True that.
That's new, or at least three or four albums in.
Yeah, he better than, actually, he's better than everybody that's out there right now. Period. With
yeah, like these cats are playing
person.
Around, dude.
It's only one person, but he ain't talking about nothing. His energy is just ridiculous, but Ricky Ross, is his energy is ridiculous, but he ain't talking about nothing. If somebody
he talking
if
about
had
nothing, but
substance, he would be dope.
But you know what? One thing I can definitely give Rick Ross is he sounds cool talking about nothing.
Yep. Yep. He do.
That's the best way I can say it. Now, I ain't being funny. If he take 2 years off, it's a wrap. And he knows that. That's why he keeps dropping out.
He's getting his Tupac on right now.
Yeah. He keeps dropping albums, and he's going to keep doing it until he gets tired. He's going to keep doing it. Because, let's be honest, he took Jeezy's lane.
Everybody took Jeezy's lane.
No, Ross owned it, though. Ross owned it. Everybody else kind of went in it. But even, and that's the thing about it, even with the whole thing about him being a cop, he still owned that lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Flies
was just... Flies turned into Ja Rule. I'm not a nurse. Your degree is on the wall in the back. It's next to your Soul Train Award, dude.
I know, man. Right. Yeah, and he took out Curly, too, man. You know, I like that.
He did not take out 50 Cent.
Yeah, he took
I'm
out
sorry.
Curly.
Anybody that's got your baby mama on the front of a Smooth magazine and then your other baby mama
hold
with a sex tape, he didn't take Curly out.
He did take Curly out.
It wasn't a real beat, man. He didn't take him out. There was no definitive winner for that. If anybody can lay claim to that, Kanye can lay claim to that. Because it was not a definitive. Like, you have definitive winners and losers when it comes to hip-hop.
Wait to the beef show, then you can defend Curly.
Okay. We will go
into that thing Curly, man. That's all I want to know.
You call him Curly, for 50 Cent can still buy and sell half of hip hop.
Curly.
It is what it is.
Monkey.
He can still buy and sell hip hop. At the end of the day, Ross is not in his tax bracket. Sorry.
Ross.
Anyway,
yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
Thank you so much for riding with us for this Mr. Too Damn Good Part 2. Next week, we're going to be discussing Where's the Beef?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to break it down. And we're not just going to talk about beef in the East Coast. We're not just going to talk beef down South. We're going to talk everywhere. West Coast, Midwest, everywhere.
No,
we're going to get into the junk mouth and game beef. We get into all of that.
Yeah.
Especially when D12 beat up E-Sham. If you even know what I'm talking about, you're really on it.
Oh, my goodness. But look, what we're going to do is, because I've been wanting to play this song for 4 weeks now, so we're going to play the last song of the day, and then after that, we're going to take it out. We are going old school right now, and yes, this artist, he did fall off my way, though. He ain't consistent, but it's not his fault. R. Kelly took his spot, and then Trey Songz tried to take R. Kelly's spot. This is Aaron Hall with I Miss You. We're going old school today.
Have you seen...
Man, you're wrong for that, Dave.
Have you seen...
Bill Burton Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton on Blog Talk Radio.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
His teeth look crackish.
You better play my song.
Man, I've been trying to play that song for 4 weeks.
I know.
I see.
You just had to get it in, then.
I had to get it in. Yeah, you got like a kennel or something, man.
Man, that's your boy.
What?
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Sorry about that. I had a little technical difficulty.
No, I just heard stank. I just heard stank ass.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's how we do it, though. That's how we do it.
Right.
Guys, I definitely want to thank everybody who tuned in with us. I also want to thank anybody who tuned in this Monday to On The Rise Radio. I was a guest host on The Rise Radio with my publicist, Attica Lundy.
Hold up. You did what? Hold up, you did what?
Nigga had eaten, man.
Hold up, that ain't in your contract. Hold up, how you doing on the show, player? What the hell?
Nigga had eaten, man. Nigga didn't even control.
Did you even plug us?
Yeah, of course I plug us. I plug Talk of the Town and I plug the Middleman Talk Show on Sunday. Thank you.
All right.
And I played my new single.
Oh, definitely.
I'm just saying.
Don't hate. Yeah, nigga getting it in.
But shout out to everybody that tuned in this past Monday. I was only on for about 30 minutes. I had an emergency come up, but I was only on for about 30 minutes. But thanks for tuning in. Thanks to my publicist, Attica Lundy of Celeb Status PR. And, guys, y'all got to listen this Sunday coming up on the Middleman Talk Show.
Yeah, buddy.
Y'all ready for this
you
Sunday?
You missed this past Sunday.
I got something for
y'all
Talk of the Town this Sunday.
Y'all
thought last week was bad.
Thanks to everybody that listened, man. The phone lines last week was banana.
Let me tell you something. I got 4 calls after the show last week. Man, you wrong for that Eddie Long thing.
Yeah, Nick, you were wrong on so many levels, man. It's like, I mean, that's like playing Mario 1 and skipping board 5 through 7 and getting to board 8 trying to beat the game. That was that type wrong, man.
I'm just saying, man. Now, you know, a good bit of his members were like, oh, no, we're not. A lot of his members didn't show up Sunday. Especially after they released the number on the payout.
Oh, yeah. And they got the payout for it.
Y'all know how much the payout was, right?
Mm-hmm. $15 million.
Mm.
And the parishioners got to pay for it.
Exactly. And what they said, one of his members was leaving the parking lot, and they said, you don't pay $15 million for innocence. And drove off. This is on the news.
Ooh.
Yeah, that parking lot was empty Sunday. I tell you that, bro. Empty on Sunday.
he up there in that suit looking like Mr. T. Anyway, we definitely want to thank everybody who took an hour and a half out of their night to listen to us on the Middleman Presents Friday Time with Nikki. Over the next couple of weeks, you may see a couple of changes within the show. We're going to switch up the format a little bit. We're going to do a couple of lighter shows. After we do Where's the Beef next week, the week after that, we are doing Classic Prank Calls. That is the funniest show that you are going to hear on Blog Talk, so please tune in next Thursday and the Thursday thereafter. It is going to be classic. Classic. I guarantee it. So, guys, I guess we can go ahead and take it out, the outro.
The middleman shouted, Beat Chris shouted. Now, I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, here, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out the master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle man. Hey, what's happening? The middle man. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle man.
Yo. I guess it's time to be our guys. I'll see y'all this Sunday. Holler.